So the first and highest duty of every rational being is to learn from the scriptures what is truth. And then what? Walk in the light. And then what? Encourage others to follow his example. We better get busy on the first and highest duty of every what? Rational being. First you learn what it is, then you practice it, and then you what? Encourage. You don't threaten, you don't demand, you don't drive, you don't pressure. Those discourage, friends. You encourage. Years ago, when I first read the Spirit of Prophecy through as a minister, I told the Lord, I says, if there's anybody trying to do anything, I will help them. Whether I see any light in it or not, if they're at least in motion. And sometimes I've supported programs that I thought were a waste of time because I'm to encourage people to do something, to walk in the light. And I really don't have all the wisdom to know exactly what you or anybody else should do, let alone even myself. Then continuing. We should day by day study the Bible diligently, weighing every thought. Not rushing through to read it through in a year, friends. But studying it how? Weighing every thought. You know, there are big sections of the Bible I've never done that to. It is hard work. But thank God for Dr. Desmond Ford. He's making a lot of Adventists do just that. My son-in-law, who's a dentist, has bought Greek books and Hebrew books now, and he's going through and he's studying the book of Daniel and he's studying Hebrews and he's weighing every thought and he's learning things that I never knew were in there. You know why? Because a few years back he took a partner into his dental office who was a rabid, and I'll say rabid, supporter of Desmond Ford, and in self-defense he had to study. And as soon as he began to learn the answers, this fellow moved out. But my son-in-law is enthused. You can't stop him from studying. And he didn't study Hebrew in college, friends. You don't have to study Hebrew in college to be able to buy a good lexicon and find out what it says. You don't have to be a PhD to know what's going on in this world. Then continuing, they should day by day study the Bible diligently, weighing every thought and comparing Scripture with Scripture. Is that what you're doing? And now comes the part that I can't stress too much. With divine help. Don't do it on your own. But it doesn't stop there. With divine help, we are to form our opinions for ourselves. That's hard work. I don't expect anybody to form an opinion because of what I've said tonight. Because if you do, friends, when the time of trouble comes, you're on shifting sand and you're not going to stand. The only foundation that's going to see you through the time of trouble, friends, is right here. When you wear the yoke of Christ, friends, then you won't be leaning on me, you won't be leaning on anybody else, but with divine assistance, what? Divine help, we are to form our opinions for ourselves. And then it continues. We are to answer for our, as we are to answer for ourselves before God. God is never going to come to you and say, now, what did Brother Bauer think? Or what did he say on September 11th, 1981? What he's going to come to you and ask is, what did you believe? What were your actions? What yoke were you wearing? You know, sometimes we mind everybody else's business but our own. And a lot of times, friends, we want to shirk the responsibility that God has given to us, and we want to advocate the dignity of humanity that He's given to us, friends, that we personally can have divine guidance as we study the Scriptures to form our opinions for ourselves. I am never to form an opinion for anybody. I can share mine and try to encourage you, and I can try to influence you in the right direction, and that's as far as I can go. I cannot put the yoke of Christ on your neck. You must put that yourselves. Now, friends, I don't know what you can do excepting to go to God. To do anything else in these times, friends, is practically saying, Lord, I don't want to go to heaven. And if you won't even put it that way, it's putting yourself in a position where you can't go to heaven. But I beg of you, sometime soon, very soon, if not tonight, throw off every yoke and get down on your knees and say, Christ, I take your yoke. And put your dependence upon God. It's imperative that you do this. It's like Sister White says, study as though your life depended upon it, because it does. And it's not this life here, it's eternal life, friends. And I say, get down on your knees until you know you wear the yoke of Christ, because your life depends on it, your eternal life depends upon it. Because soon, very soon, what we've called the investigative judgment is going to go through the church. And your name's coming up. And it's going to either be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life, if it's there, or it's going to stay. And I could talk a lot, because all of God's truths, friends, fit together like this. The Sabbath, the law, the sanctuary, the atonement. It all fits together. You cannot separate it. You cannot tamper with it. To do so is to destroy it and lose out on eternal life. And we've all heard our whole lives, the Sabbath is the seal of God. I'm telling you something, friends. New evangelical Adventism, those who are accepting it, are placing themselves where soon they can no longer believe the Sabbath. One of their leaders, Brinsmead, has already come out publicly saying the Sabbath is no importance. Because in early writing, Sister Wright says the Sabbath test could not come until Christ had finished his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary's first apartment and shut that door which cannot be opened, and opened the door into the second apartment where the commandments of God are. And these men are denying the sanctuary doctrine, and in doing so they are destroying the Sabbath. And Sister White says, when the Sunday law is passed, they will find it an easy matter to compromise. Who's going to tell them? Are you? I'm doing what I can. Maybe not all that I could. Are you keeping silent because your fear of being rebuffed? That's a yoke, friends. You can put an oath. You can even put your own yoke. You don't have to wear a church's yoke or some group's yoke. You can put a yoke on your own neck. Take them off. I was going to make a call tonight, and I'm not going to. I think you need to settle this between you and God on your knees alone, without any group pressure. Nobody watching to see who stands or doesn't stand. But on your knees alone. It's got to be your decision alone with God. Shall we kneel in prayer? Our Father in heaven, as we kneel before Thee this evening, we come to Thee and we say, Lord, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. And keep Thy promise that Thy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Help us that we might hunger and thirst for a knowledge of Thy Word. That we might feed upon it. That we might take the yoke of Jesus and cast all others aside. That our names may be left in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we will be ready to meet Jesus when He comes in the clouds of heaven. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.